The bookstore was quiet on Tuesday mornings. Talia always arrived beforehand, an hour before the guests came. She liked the silence, the smell of old paper and coffee, and the way the light filtered to the stained glass windows above the shelves. In that quiet time, she felt like the stories rumored only to her. It had been 3 times since she'd taken over the shop after her forefather passed. A world between runners had been her safe haven growing up, a home put away in the corners of fabrication. Now, it was her responsibility, and her sanctuary. She was deferring a new payload of love novels when the doorbell chimed. Odd. It was too early. "Sorry, we're not open yet," she called, brushing a slapdash beachfront of hair from her impertinence without looking up. "I know. I just wanted to see if you were still then," a voice said. She said. That voice didn't belong in the present. It belonged in the chapters she closed long gone. Sluggishly, Talia turned. There he was. Daniel. 7 times had passed since she last saw him. Back also, they had been thick, scribbling dreams and perimeters of scrapbooks, staying over all night to talk about life and literature. He'd been her poet, her first love, her heartache. He looked aged now, broader shoulders, softer eyes, that same crooked smile. "What are you doing then?" she asked, heart racing. I moved back. For good this time. Talia folded her arms, a weak defense. "After all this time, I know I've no right to show up like this. But I allowed perhaps we could talk." She goggled at him. Try and find her footing in the rush of memory. "There's coffee in the reverse. I'll make 2. Daniel looked around as he followed her. The shop hadn't changed important. Still warm and cluttered, books piled high in cozy chaos. Just like he flashed back, they sat at the small round table near the window, 2 mugs storming between them. "I heard about your forefather," he said vocally. "He failed peacefully, in his sleep. He was a great man." Talia jounced, her fritters tensing around her mug. "You left, Daniel. You didn't just go to New York, you faded." He suffed. "I got spooked. Of the world, of failing, of holding you back. I allowed if I went and made commodity of myself, I could come back good." "And did you?" "No," he said actually, "but I realized the thing I was trying to come. It meant nothing without you." Talia blinked hard, her casket tightening. "I wrote a book," he added. "You always said you would." "It's about us." "Kind of." She looked up, surprised. "I called it You Are My Story." Talia didn't know what to say. Her throat felt thick with effects unsaid. Ghosts of their history floated between them. Train lifts, letters, horse laugh, a kiss under the library skylight. "I didn't suppose you still allowed of me," she rumored. "I no way stopped," Daniel replied, eyes steady. "I wrote every day, indeed when I can't shoot a word to you." "You could have. I awaited. I was selfish," he admitted, "and hysterical. But I came back because I couldn't live 1 further day without trying." Talia stood suddenly, demanding space to suppose. She walked between the shelves like she used to when effects overwhelmed her. Her fritters brushed the backbones of books, resting her. He followed, not too close. "I didn't move on," she said, back turned. "But I learned how to live again. I buried myself in the bookstore. I erected a life without you. I do want to tear that life down. I want to be part of it. If you'll let me..." She turned, her eyes filled with conflict. "Show me the book," she said. He reached into his satchel and handed her a worn handwriting. "Its cover simple, You Are My Story by Daniel Hart." She sat behind the counter and began to read. The handwriting was raw, honest. It didn't glamorize their history. It captured the horse laugh and the pang, the little moments, stormy afterlife in cafes, their participated love for Rilke and Neruda, how they formally danced barefoot in a rainstorm. Every runner felt like a discussion long overdue. Talia wiped her eyes further than formally. By the time she reached the last judgment, "If love is a story, also you're every runner I ever rode in the dark." She was pulsing. She looked up. Daniel waited quietly. She walked over, placed a handwriting on the table, and rumored, "You still write like you used to?" His smile was reluctant. "Is that good?" "It's dangerous." He took her hand. Let me stay. Let me rewrite what I broke. And for the first time in times, Talia let herself hope. The weeks that followed were slow, tender, and real. Daniel came part of her world again. He helped rearrange the shop, read poetry to the kiddies during weekend readings, and cooked for Gail in her bitsy kitchen. They didn't rush. They didn't pledge ever. They just participated each day. Occasionally, they'd read audibly to each other like old times. Talia would rest her head on his shoulder, and Daniel would smile into her hair. It was simple, but it was everything. One stormy evening, they sat by the window, the handwriting spread between them. "I want you to publish it," Talia said. "People need to read this." "With you as my editor?" She beamed. "Only if you agree to the changes I make." "I trust you." She leaned in, eyes soft. "I trust you, too." And when their lips met, it wasn't the hopeless kiss of reunion, but the quiet pledge of a new morning. 6 months latterly, "You Are My Story" was published to glowing reviews. Compendiums around the world wept, laughed, and fell in love with their tale. But the real story unfolded still, in the warm corners of a bookstore, where love was revived, not as a fantasy, but as commodity real, messy, and lasting. And every morning, as Talia opened the shop and Daniel brewed coffee behind the counter, they knew their story was still being written. Together,